if you go down Carpenter's Road, you come to a railway bridge. Immediately on left, after you've been through the railway bridge, is the company, Burgess Jensen Nicholson. There was a big archway there for cars to go in, for the staff car park. And that was the office block. A bit further along, there was another big archway, which was an entrance to the beginning of the factory.
Of all nature's phenomena, none is so appreciated yet so little understood as colour. One may be endowed with a strong colour sense and achieve a degree of success in colour arrangement without knowing any of the fundamental laws. An acquaintance with the principles of colour, however, will enable the colour user not only to compose his schemes with greater harmonious success than by merely relying on a coherent colour sense, but to display more originality. Colours are too often chosen simply because their beauty charms us, but it is more important to know and choose from them for their psychological influence. Red fires the blood, red rag to a bull, red flag of revolution, etc. It is a strong colour which must be used with discrimination. To a person feeling sorrowful, red would act like a tonic, whereas with one with strained nerves, the effect might be detrimental because red would tend to put the nerves still more on edge.
Quite an enormous great manufacturing area where they used to do all the usual planes, you know, gloss, undercoat, primers and all that sort of thing with their own laboratory and a dispatch bank and the raw materials reception area.
Blue is the inspiring colour. Yellow acts on the mind like sunshine, enlivens the thoughts and warms everything near it, a good tonic colour. Green is restful and soothing, the colour of nature in repose. These are the fundamental notes in which colour plays upon the human mind through sight as music with its harmonies of sounds plays upon the ear. Let us go through the house in a bare wall state and decorate it according to the laws of colour and the conditions which the situation impose. As aspect has a great influence on the lighting of a room, we give three suggestions for each room to suit the different directions from which the lighting may come. The hall. Considering the uses of a conveniently arranged entrance hall and its effect on those who come to see us, it does not usually get the space allotted to it in the modern small house, which it deserves. Therefore, what it lacks in spaciousness should be made up by such treatment as will enhance its size.
There was another section for varnishes and resins there, which tied up with this lot here. Beyond that was what was called the cellulose department, where they made all the cellulose products, the laboratory and the manufacturer. And there was a big dispatch bank on this side as well, where all the goods used to go out, or some of the goods used to go out.
In the typical small detached or semi-detached house of today, we often find a space of about 10 to 8 feet, with the staircase occupying a good deal of the room and the walls broken up by doorways leading into the living rooms.
So dark in there and terrible. For the laboratory, you could look through the floor and see what's going on down below.
To make such a hall look larger, we might use semi-luster powder blue for the walls and a deeper tone, Pompeian hyacinth, for the woodwork.
And then they had the emulsion plant, which was behind that. There was another big dye stuff company, but they were tied up with us somehow or other, and they used to make all dye stuffs in that and sort of sell them to us at a loss, probably.
In such a small space, it is often better to bring the ceiling down a little by painting it white or ivory. Should a warmer scheme be preferred, semi-luster cream for walls and Pompeian golden brown woodwork will be pleasingly harmonious in colour and varied enough in tone to avoid flatness.
There was the main laboratory was in the first area, the varnish, main laboratory, analytical laboratory, office block.
In the older type of small house where the entrance hall is long and narrow, we can usefully employ some of the tricks of colour to increase the apparent width and reduce the height with advancing and receding colours, and also correct any inartistic proportions.
Then there was, of course, the old canal at the back. I don't know how much old paint went into there, but not shouldn't have gone, but dear, it did. The stuff they could pull out of that canal, I don't know.
Where there is a long, unbroken expanse of wall, a picture rail and a dado are very helpful to make it more cosy and comfortable looking. These should be picked out in Pompeian, the same as the walls in hue, but different in tone.
Everything that comes into the lab, be it a powder, a liquid or whatever, solid, it's got to be checked for colour. You know, if it's a black powder, one of the dye stuffs, and that has to be checked against the standard piece, make sure that it's right. Liquids are usually checked for the specific gravity and things like that, and evaporation rates perhaps. And the solids are checked for melting points. Mm. And other things like that. So it's all the things that have got to be, that can't be done in the factory because of, you know, flames, can't have them in the factory. They've got to be done under controlled conditions.
The dining room. The thoughts which should guide us mainly when deciding the colour scheme suitable for a dining room in a smaller modern home are that it is a place where the large part of the family life is spent, and that the pleasure and benefit derived from our meals is largely influenced by the surroundings in which they are partaken. The solid, heavy colours of pre-war days have largely given way to the lighter and more dainty pastel tints of the simple colours.
When the sample comes up from the factory, it may require you have to, if it's a spray paint or industrial type paint needs spraying, you would have to spray a panel, put it in an oven and stove it for so long, and then afterwards give it time to cool down, make sure that the colour matches. You know, sort of, we used to use our fingers, but most people use a small knife and see how hard. Then if it's so, you know, if it wants altering, you send it sample back with the panel, and the factory will have a standard panel which they should check it against anyway.
Lounge sitting room. We should bear in mind that the coloured furnishings of a sitting room are usually strong enough to dominate the picture. The spirit desired in such an apartment is reflected by soft pastel tones with tinted ceilings that harmonise.
A litre can or a half of 500ml can or bigger cans, given the weights that they're to put in depending on the specific gravity, and only have to check the viscosity, that that's within certain limits. So powders, yeah, you know, fineness or coarseness, and just to get a little blob of it on a plate, put a piece, because you always carry a bulk of this of standard material which has been accepted, so you get a small bit of the batch coming in, a little blob of standard, and sort of press them both hard together, and if you can see a dividing line, they don't tie up. One is a little bit cleaner or a bit dirty, but depends what it's, if it's just an extender, it doesn't really matter all that, because they've got no strength in them, you know, they've got no colour as such.
The bedroom. Blue has been called an inspiring colour which does not induce repose. Fortunately, the light we go to bed by is more yellow than daylight. Consequently, the blue looks greyed over. In a southeast room, the morning sun should make a scene to wake to, and the blue will look purer in colour when naturally lighted and contrasted with the rich dark red woodwork and furniture which is shown in this scheme.
But the pigments, they have to be really spot on before you either accept them or reject them. When we were developing a new product, you decide, someone would say, oh look, this has come off of something or other, and it's big business. If we could do something to this same colour and the same sort of properties, could do well. So someone would be asked to develop something to match either colour, B, the strength of the colour, and of course the price, which is also all important.
A bedroom facing north is always apt to look dull and cold, and therefore calls for walls that look both light and warm. We have illustrated the effect of a red, which is pale enough to be light. Such a tint as this preserves its purity of hue and its daintiness with neutral coloured woodwork, especially if brightened up with a white ceiling. In such a room, a woman can exercise her judgment in choosing bed furnishings, which will give a pretty touch of colour to the whole scheme.
You have to work out how that the strength of the shading colour is right. Otherwise, if it's too strong or too weak, you're not going to get the right colour that you want on the card, you know. But that was good. But as I say, when we started it was just a case of having so much colour goes into a little tube or a bigger tube or a bigger tube, depending how deep a colour you want. And then, of course, blends come into it as well.
In a young lady's bedroom, where daintiness and brightly coloured furnishings are desired, walls that are more or less neutral may be preferred. We show such a scheme with walls in warm grey, ceiling in pink, to reflect such a warm red on the walls, and woodwork in Pompeian pale Lincoln permanent green.